Being part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of God, as a living entity is also seeking complete enjoyment. However, complete enjoyment cannot be achieved separate from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is wandering in the different species of life. The living entity may taste some type of enjoyment from one body or another, but full enjoyment of the senses cannot be obtained in any material body. Thus, for instance, the living entity wanders in different types of bodies, but everywhere meets sensation in its attempts to enjoy. In other words, the spiritual spark, covered by matter, cannot fully enjoy the senses in any circumstance of material life. The jiva may become absorbed in the musical sound vibrated by the hunter, but the result is that it loses its life. Similarly, a fish is very expert in gratifying its tongue, but when it eats the bait offered by the fisherman, it loses its life. Even an elephant, who is so strong as captured, loses its independence while satisfying its genitals with a female elephant. In each and every species of life, the living entity gets a body to satisfy various senses, but it cannot enjoy all the senses at one time. In the human form of life, he gets an opportunity to enjoy all the senses pervertedly. But the result is he becomes so harassed in his attempt in sense gratification, he often becomes morose. As he tries to satisfy his senses more and more, he becomes more and more entangled. Text 13, once while wandering in this way, he saw on the southern side of the Himalayas in a place called Varsha, a city that had 9 gates all above, and it was characterized by auspicious facilities. Therefore, the tract of land south of the Himalayan mountains, the land of India, which was known as Varsha, where the living entity takes birth, and Varsha is considered to be most fortunate. Each attending Mapa was said, Bharata Bhumite Hoilo, Manusya Janmadar, Janma Sakta Kori, Kora Parvapakar. Thus, whoever takes birth in the land of Varsha attains all facilities of life. He may take advantage of all these facilities for both material and spiritual advancement, and thus make his life successful. After attaining the goal of life, one may distribute his knowledge and experience all over the world for humanitarian purposes. In other words, one who takes birth in the land of Varsha, by virtue of his past pious activities, gives full facility to develop the human form of life. In India, the climatic condition is still one that one can live very peacefully without being disturbed by material conditions. Indeed, during the time of Maharaj Yudhisthira or Lord Ramchandra, people were free from all anxieties. There was not even extreme cold or extreme heat. The three kinds of mystical conditions, Adhyatma, Adhibhautik, and Adhidaivik, were all absent during the reign of Lord Ramchandra or Maharaj Yudhisthira. But at present, compared to other countries on earth, India is artificially disturbed. Despite these material disturbances, however, the country's culture is such that one can easily attain the goal of life, namely salvation or liberation from material bondage. Thus, in order to take birth in India, one must have performed many pious activities of past life. In this verse, the word Lakshita Lakshanam indicates that the human body attained in Varsha is very auspicious. Vedic culture is full of knowledge, and a person born in India can fully take advantage of Vedic cultural knowledge and cultural system known as Svarnashram Dharma. Even at the present time, as we travel all over the world, we see that in some countries human beings have many material facilities, but no facilities for spiritual advancement. We find everything, everywhere, the defects of one side of facilities, the lack of full facilities. A blind man can walk but not see, a layman cannot walk but can see, and the bhangunyaya. The blind man may take the layman on the shoulder and if he walks, the layman may give him directions. Thus combined may work, but individually the blind man or the lame man can walk successfully. Similarly, this human form of life is meant for the advancement of spiritual life and for keeping the material necessities in order. Especially in the Western countries, there are ample facilities for material comforts, but no one has any idea of spiritual advancement. Many are hankering after spiritual advancement, but many cheaters come and take advantage of the money and let something go away. Fortunately, Krishna consciousness movement is there to give all facilities for both material and spiritual advancement. In this way, people in the Western countries may take advantage of this movement. In India, any man in the villages unaffected by the industrial cities of India can still live any condition and make spiritual advancement. The body has been called the city of 9 gates, and these 9 gates include 2 eyes, 2 ears, 2 nostrils, 1 mouth, genital, and rectum. and the nine gates are clean and working properly, it is to be understood that the body is healthy. And indeed, these nine gates are kept clean by the villagers who rise early in the morning, bathe in the well, the rivers, go to the temples to attend Mangalarti, chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and take prasadam. In this way, one can fulfill all the facilities of human life. We are gradually introducing the system in different centers in our society. In Western countries, one who takes advantage of it becomes more and more enlightened in spiritual life. At the present moment, India has become compared to the lame man and Western countries to the blind man. For the past 2,000 years, India has been subjugated by the rule of foreigners, and the legs of progress have been broken. In the Western countries, the eyes of the people have become blind due to the dazzling glitter of material opulence. The blind man of the Western countries and the lame man of India should combine together in this Krishna conscious movement. Then the lame man of India can walk and help the Westerner, and the blind Westerner can see with the help of the lame man. In short, the material advancements of the Western countries and the spiritual assets of India should combine for the elevation of all human society. Translation: King Puranjana had unlimited desires for sense gratification, enjoyment, constantly traveled all over the world to find a place where all his desires could be fulfilled. Unfortunately, he found a feeling of insufficiency everywhere. Once, while wandering in this way, he saw on the southern side of the Himalayas a place named Bharatvarsh, a city which had nine gates all about and was characterized by all the spacious facilities. So, as was the previous verse yesterday, here again is the description of the wandering of the jiva, King Puranjana, looking for enjoyment, which means he goes from body to body and country to country. So here, finally, in verse 13, he finds a place south of the Himalayas, in Bharatvarsha. Of course, Bharatvarsha also refers to the one of the different Varshas, such as Kivarusha Varsha and Kuru Varsha, except there's different Varshas on Jambudvip. And in the center is Mount Meru. So anyway, in the southern side part, we find a strip called Varsha, which in one sense represents the earth and also India. And he found the city. So Puranjana, of course, means one who lives in the city. So he found a convenient body, in other words, who he thought was satisfying, at least. After wandering around in different bodies, he found a body. And this, of course, the symbolism is the city, and the city has nine gates, nine openings, which are the nine openings in the body. So it also refers to the human body. The human body is developed in which all the senses are active, and one can enjoy very nicely in this particular body. So, in other words, the jiva attained a human body. So that is basically what is said here. The jiva finally got a chance to get a human body, and then he could enjoy sufficiently. But, as we can see, enjoyment in the material body actually is limited. So, in one sense, yes, he was in found a satisfactory body finally. But in another sense, no. Because we see eventually he has to give up that body. So he lives happily in that body for some time. Then at the end of his life, he has to give up that body and he has to suffer. So in other words, it was not such a good body after all, even though he is thinking when he first gets the body, oh, this is very good. Ultimately, he realizes that it is not, because the whole city gets burned down. He has to leave that city. It gets destroyed. So, this is the nature of bodies, whether it is human body or any other body. So, one can wander around and think this body is better than that body. And definitely, we have a hierarchy. We have the plants, and the animal, and we have the human being, we have devatas, and finally we have Brahma. So in one sense, yes, there is inferior and superior bodies. But they're all material. So therefore, subject to destruction, sooner or later. So of course, Brahma's body lasts a very, very long time. And even Devata's bodies last a long time compared to our bodies. But nevertheless, they have to leave those bodies eventually because the Atma and the body are different. When the nature of the material world is destructible. The Atma, however, is not. So we have a little bit of a discrepancy or a difference. We have the Atma, which is eternal, and then we have the body, which is non-eternal. So it's not a very good combination. So just as if you rent a house, you have to keep changing houses. Or if the house is made out of bad materials, then it has to be torn down and make a new house. So in the same way, the jiva has to keep changing bodies, going from one body to another, like changing houses. So it's not very satisfactory. We'd rather have an eternal body, one eternal body. That takes place in the spiritual world, but it cannot take place in the material world because things made of property are destructible. So it's impossible. Due to punyas, then we can of course extend the enjoyment, and ultimately we get a body like Brahma, and we can extend that life, but still it's destructible. So relatively speaking, we have higher and lower bodies in the material world. But as we see, Krishna condemns the whole thing ultimately. It's all temporary. So one who is intelligent will finally understand this fact that wandering in better bodies and better bodies ultimately also is meaningless. So then the question comes, can we have eternal body, eternal happiness and eternal body? And the answer according to scripture is yes. The material world we don't know. But according to scripture, yes, we give up the material body and we get eternal, with no more taking bodies, we get an eternal position with the Lord. So it is possible, but it requires a particular process. So again, that process, not only the knowledge is difficult to attain on our own, but also the process is difficult to attain on our own. So that is why we need the knowledge of scripture. To give us the truth and to give us a practical process by which we can attain that goal. So that of course is the main purpose of Narada Muni. He wants to enlighten Prashnavarya with knowledge so that he can change his attitude, and instead of trying to get better material bodies, he can actually reject that process completely and take to higher processes like jnana, yoga, or ultimately bhakti. So, of course, Narada Muni is the Shaktivetish for bhakti, Shaktivetish avatar for bhakti yoga. So, ultimately, he wants to advise the king to worship the Supreme Lord as the process. So, to do that, he gives this story. As I said, often the strategy is to identify oneself as different from the body, as in Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna first says, you're not the material body. So the same strategy is used here by Narada Muni. He wants to illustrate that you're not the material body, so do that. And he tells this elaborate story of the king and the body in the city. And then finally the city gets burned down and he has to leave the city. So in other words, he has to go to another body again. So it's an elaborate version of what Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita in chapter 2, that you go from body to body just as you change clothes. So the same way here, you go to body just like going from one house to another, going from one city to another. So basically the same strategy is there. So once that preliminary knowledge is there, then Narada Muni will give higher knowledge, of course. The example in itself does not explain about the Supreme Lord. It only shows that you're not the body, and you're Atma. So that is one level of knowledge, jnana. But then the next level is to understand the Supreme Lord is also there. And, of course, if we want eternal body, etc., then we have to worship the Supreme Lord. So that is the next step in knowledge after understanding you're not a material body. So, in other words, the strategy of Krishna and Bhagavad Gita was give jnana to Arjuna. you're not the body, etc. So that was his first strategy. Then, of course, he says, well, you're not even following the Vrigyan, you do Karma Yoga. But then he says, do Astanga Yoga and then do Bhakti Yoga. So, and since it's finally forget all that, just do Bhakti Yoga at the end. King Paranjana is already caught in Karma Yoga and in the negative aspects of it. So the strategy of Narada Muni here is to completely smash Karma Yoga by making him understand he's not the body at all, and then after that he can give him Bhakti Yoga. So that's the strategy of Narada here. Human body here is described as having 9 gates, and all these gates will be elaborately described in the next verses, which are simply the different senses, the action senses and the knowledge gathering senses, Gyanendriya and Karmendriya, in the body. So just as a city has gates by which people can go in and out, so the body has gates or openings. What are these openings for? For certain sense activities. So, of course, by the knowledge gathering senses, we can get knowledge coming in through the eye, the ear, taste, etc. We have information coming in, just like the gates of the city are open and the people flow in. So in the same way, we get information flowing in through the knowledge gathering senses. And in this way, the jiva gets some information for getting enjoyment. This allows the jiva to enjoy it by interacting through the gates. So the gates are very important for maintaining the body, preserving the body, getting food, oxygen, water, whatever, excreting waste products, etc. And for knowledge, for basic functioning of the body, and for knowledge. And through that knowledge, and then we get some, and that goes into the mind, and we get some sort of perceptions and enjoyments. So this is the gates, therefore, are very important for the jiva. It allows him to live, and it allows him to get his material enjoyment. The knowledge gathering senses are also useful for spiritual development. So therefore the ear and the eye and the nose and all these things can be used spiritually as well. So they have a dual function. They're not just for material things. So even though we can condemn the material body and the senses, etc., still we should understand that in sadhana bhakti they can be very useful for us. So the gates are not necessarily bad. They can also be used in a positive way in devotional service. So they're not completely negative. So just as we get sense gratification by these gates, in the same way, when the object is of the object of perception is Supreme Lord Krishna, and that perception is viewed with the attitude of service rather than enjoyment, then it no longer has negative qualities to it. So the gates do not function in a negative way anymore. They become useful for development of bhakti. So in this way, the human body is very useful for the jiva, not only for living and enjoying, but also for spiritual development. Of course, the dogs also have 9 gates, but not as highly developed. So maybe one sense is developed, like they can hear nicely or whatever. But the voice is not developed, but they can bark a little bit, but that's all. And hearing, they can hear certain things, but they cannot hear philosophy. They can hear, you know, food or whatever, and bark this way, hear other barking and whatever, simple commands, yes, but complicated instructions, no, they cannot hear. So the human being, on the other hand, has senses developed in such a way as coordinated with a highly developed mind. So we have a higher, better advantage. So So in that sense, the nine gates are more useful for the human being. And therefore, as said here, finally, King Paranjana found a good city to live in, the human body. In terms of material survival, yes. Human beings have intelligence, etc., so therefore they can survive nicely. And intelligence, mind, etc. And at the same time, it is useful for spiritual development. So that is the real significant point, that it is suitable for the jiva because it is an opportunity for spiritual development. So that is the why the human body is superior.
This city is manned by whenever the gates are there, there are watchmen and gatekeepers. Any gatekeepers for the sense of
the eyelids. Yes, some of them open and close automatically. Mouth opens and closes. Ears don't. So it's a little different over the ears, but the other ones open and close. So there is some ability to stop the information or whatever if you want to.
Doesn't the mind have an influence? The mind has an influence?
No, it's the internal sense.
Man, what exactly actually enjoys when you say...
Ultimately the jiva. Mind cannot enjoy because it's only a machine, it's only an instrument of the jiva ultimately. So the jiva ultimately is the final enjoyer. Experiencer. The mind cannot enjoy, cannot experience anything ultimately. Just like a computer cannot experience anything. And so the mind also cannot experience. It's only an instrument for experience.
But when we say that somebody's on a mental platform,
let's say his mental thoughts and stuff influence the jiva more. That's all. Of course. Everybody's on the mental platform because everybody's got a mind, so it's obviously influencing everybody. But if they are very or extremely influenced by that, and the intelligence does not operate up to a sufficient level, then we can say they're influenced by the mind. Well, the jiva is spiritual in nature. But it has, as part of its constitution, is conscious, and because it's conscious, it can perceive. Because it perceives, then it can automatically have likes and dislikes and desires, whatever. So it's only a matter of what it likes and what it dislikes. So if it likes enjoyment for itself, then it is in the material world, we call it conditioned, that's all.
The spirit is magic, as you go on, like water and oil.
That's the arrangement of the Lord. To make you frustrated. And so you get out of the material world.
No, when the man contemplates or sense objects, then the excitement or this, when finally falling into the material stuff, it's like.
Yeah.
So mind is the instrument.
A mind is an instrument, but behind the mind is the jiva itself. As long as the desire to enjoy is in the jiva, then it's obviously going to be there in the mind. Yeah. Now we can destroy the mind, but if the jiva still has a desire for enjoyment, still is a problem. Even if the mind isn't there, then he'll develop another mind and another body. Okay. So, along with controlling the mind, we also have to, the jiva ultimately has to destroy that desire for separate enjoyment. So the means of doing that is bhakti. It is a cultivation of desire in the jiva to serve the Lord. That's what it is. Yeah, no, purifying the mind is not enough. Ultimately, the ultimate purification, if we do some purification, all of these get jnana, we get liberation. So to really develop the jiva, then we have to do bhakti.
We are chanting Hare Krishna. We are telling Hare Krishna to destroy the demonic mentality.
So, well, not only that, but to create bhakti. devotion to the Lord. That's the positive aspect.
In our body, the jiva is more powerful in here compared to the senses, mind, and this. How can this purify jiva?
What's that? How can
it purify jiva? Who's going to purify? Mind has to be okay.
No, the process of bhakti stimulates devotion in the jiva. That is the purification. That destroys everything else, all the negative aspects. The devotion in the jiva.
Wouldn't that be good if you enjoy it?
Obviously.
I'm not going to spend any time on it.